There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Listening to Dubai Eye 103.8, listening to The Grill, broadcasting live from Barasti, where the game is always on. Great crowd in here at Barasti at the moment, and they are being treated to some great action as well. We've got a result from Spain.
We certainly do. Let's start there. A seismic result too, it could well be, for Julian Lopetegui. It is now five games without a success for Real Madrid, beaten at home today by Levante. They have set in the process a new record, the longest drought, standing at over 470 minutes without a goal. Marcelo would eventually pull one back. They were 2-0 down where Real Madrid inside 13 minutes. They had two goals disallowed as well. Marcelo would pull one back in the final 20 minutes. They huffed, they puffed, they failed to blow the Levante door down though. Levante in the end successful. I would imagine the recriminations will be felt long and hard over in the Spanish capital. Some suggestion this week that the former Juventus, Italy and Chelsea manager Antonio Conte has had preliminary discussions with Real Madrid. I don't know how Julian Lopetegui survives this. It is all very reminiscent of Rafa Benitez a few years ago. The white hankies were out at the Santiago Bernabeu this afternoon as well. Real Madrid 1, Levante 2.
Meanwhile, what's going on in the Champions Cup? Mark Archer, put us in the picture.
Yeah, into the second half of the two early Champions Cup kickoffs. Start in France, where the home team casts lead Exeter Chiefs 26 points to 19. Red card there, though, for the home team. Mama Valapolu has received a red card at the end of the first half. And in Ireland, it's Munster leading Gloucester 15 points to 3. Red card for the English fly half. Danny Cipriani sent off for a high tackle in that match. So lots of work to do for Gloucester to get back into that match. But over in Ireland, Munster 15, Gloucester 3.
About 8 minutes left, regulation time down at Stamford Bridge.
Certainly is, Tom. It remains Chelsea 1, Manchester United 2. What a game this has been. Another fantastic advert. What a couple of games we've witnessed this afternoon. Both Real Madrid, Levante over in Spain, down at Stamford Bridge. Manchester United have turned this tie on its head. Chelsea bossed the first half. Antonio Rudiger headed them into the lead just midway through that first half. They were good value were Chelsea for that lead. Manchester United, an equaliser from absolutely nowhere. Anthony Martial with a swing of his right boot, and then a real good goal to put them in front. Juan Mata down the right hand side into Rashford. Quick thinking from the United number 10. Move the ball on quickly to the left hand side. One touch, bang. Use Cesar Azpilicueta, just as his little screen, just to bend it into the far corner past Kepa. Smiles from Anthony Martial, with Jose Mourinho on the touchline. He has been replaced by the Brazilian midfielder Andrea Pereira, looking to shut up shop a little. Manchester United now. Alexis Sanchez, who was left out today, he is getting ready to come on as well. We're into the final 6.5 minutes. It's Chelsea 1, Manchester United 2.
Stay tuned to Dubai Eye 103.8. We go off air at 6 o'clock, but worry not, sports fans, you've got plenty to look forward to from 6, because we will be touching base with our friends and colleagues at TalkSport over in the United Kingdom for live commentary of the London Derby. It is a grudge match. It's West Ham against Tottenham.
It certainly is. One man who will be calling the action, a good friend of ours. He's a West Ham fan as well, so I'm sure he is excited today. It is Adam Bridge, and he joins us live from London now. A very good afternoon to you, Adam.
Afternoon. Neutral as ever, mate. Neutral as ever.
Of course you are. You are professional to the last, Mr. Bridge. Talk to us about this game, though. More so, I guess, from a professional standpoint. We'll maybe get the kind of West Ham thoughts on it in a second. What is the feeling ahead of this one today, West Ham against Spurs? From a West Ham perspective first, if we can, feeling that they could potentially upset Spurs today?
I think the two home performances against Chelsea and Manchester United have certainly provided a little bit of confidence. I mean, they've only won 6 of the last 20 games that have been played at the London Stadium so far. Those defeats early season against Bournemouth, having gone in front, and the last gasp loss to Wolves, I think really a dented confidence. But the way they came out against Chelsea and kept that only clean sheet they've managed this season was excellent. It was followed up, of course, by that terrific performance against an out-of-sorts Manchester United side. So I think, you know, the evidence would point to when they come up against the big boys at home, they tend to rise to the occasion. And it's certainly been a remarkable turnaround after those 4 opening performances. Although, you know, I think a couple of the opening shows, particularly the game against Arsenal, I think we probably felt we were quite unlucky to end up being on the losing side against Brighton. Again, I think we probably deserve to come away with a point. So I think there's a bit of confidence running through the team. He seems to have found a system that works for him in a starting 11, though he's been forced into a couple of changes today. So I think things are looking a little bit rosier from Pellegrini's perspective at the London Stadium.
That illustrates closing down.
Recruits in the summer. Interested to read this past week, Adam Maurizio Pochettino standing by that he had no regrets that they didn't bring anyone in during that off-season. What have you made of Spurs' start to the campaign?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because he's taken a little bit of flack, and so have Spurs. But when you actually look at the numbers and realise out of 8 games, there's only been 2 defeats and 6 victories so far. So it's actually been a pretty decent start, but they seem to have almost gone under the radar. I think the performances against Inter Milan and the performance against Barcelona has kind of added to the criticism that's been heading their way. And I think they're always going to be an easy target for that criticism on the basis that they didn't strengthen during the summer. There seemed to be almost an air of arrogance about, well, actually, there's no one that can make our starting 11 any better. Well, actually, you need more than 11. And also, when you're trying to be competitive in the Champions League and on all sorts of levels against sides like Man City, who's strengthened, against Chelsea with a new manager, etc., they probably did need to add something. But they have still won 6 games, you know, away from home. They've had 4 victories so far. There isn't really a lot that they've done that's been wrong so far this season, and they're tucked in quite nicely, and they've actually started better than they did last time around. So I think maybe some of the criticism has been a little bit unjustified.
Yeah, a quick word on their number 8, Harry Winks, if we can, Adam. I thought he probably performed, maybe not getting the plaudits he deserved the other night against Spain, back into that midfield by Gareth Southgate for England, that 3-2 victory for the boys. It had a wonderful breakthrough last season, then had that ankle knock. You're a fan of Harry?
Yeah, I am actually. I think he lost a lot of confidence. He took a little bit of criticism in midweek as well about the amount of passes he played forward. But, you know, I think we know that's not always the issue when you've got the likes of Ross Barkley alongside you and you're playing with the 2 quick wide men. Sometimes, you know, Winks' role was very much about the set-up play alongside Eric Dier as well. So, you know, I think he's got a lot to offer. I think you're right. I think the ankle injury has probably set him back a little bit. And he's got a very difficult midfield to try and get a place in here. When you consider the likes of Dier, you've got Sissoko who's starting alongside him today. Predominantly, you know, those two I think are probably in, Winks and Sissoko, because of the fact that Dembele and Eriksen are only just coming back from injury and find themselves on the bench today. But what we've seen with Harry Winks since he has come back into the side is he's very much taken his opportunity. And I think Pochettino will reward that. And I think it's going to be very difficult now to get Harry Winks out of this Spurs starting 11, and this could be the point where actually this boy really makes an impact on the Premier League.
Final one on Spurs, if we can, Adam. What is the latest with the new stadium? We do appreciate that Spurs were supposedly moving in to that Tottenham Hotspur stadium a couple of months back. Setbacks aplenty. Do you know where we're currently at with that and when we can expect Spurs to be playing in that new state-of-the-art stadium in North London?
Well, we know the pitch has been put down, and we know they've had some of the safety checks have been carried out. But obviously, before you're allowed to open up these stadia, there has to be almost kind of full-on events where you have a certain capacity in. I know they did it with the London Stadium previously, with the friendlies against Juventus, and a couple of other kind of soft launch lead-up events. I don't hear any of those planned right now. I will be very surprised if we see them in there at the turn of the year. I mean, some would say it's a disaster, some would say it's not. I think what we've seen in this country time and time again is these stadium builds never quite go as smoothly as everyone expects. We saw it with Wembley before, we saw it a little bit at the London Stadium, and then the conversion, of course, from the Olympic Stadium to the London Stadium, and we're seeing it again now. And there has to be a connection between that lack of transfer activity and the amount of money this stadium costs. It looks impressive, it looks amazing, but the question is it going to have been done, like with Arsenal previously, to the detriment of the team?
You mentioned there the detriment of the team. I will ask this question. I'm sure you are aware, Adam. Real Madrid lost earlier today to Levante. Some suggestion that could be it for Julian Lopetegui. I know Mauricio Pochettino, former Espanyol manager, has said he'll never manage Barcelona in the future, has been linked with Real Madrid in the past. Would he be tempted, do you feel, to jump ship mid-season if that Real Madrid job was A, to become available, and B, if Florentino Perez was to pick up the phone?
I'd be really surprised if he jumped mid-season. I think Pochettino has a certain amount of integrity about him. It wouldn't surprise me if at the end of next season it happened, because I think there's probably only so far he can take this Spurs side. And again, we come back to, and this isn't Spurs knocking, this is facts. You know, they don't win things. They aren't getting in the top four. They get so far in the Champions League but can't really go any further. You know, he's an ambitious manager. He wants to win trophies. He wants to stamp his name on the game of football. He wants to go down in history with a fantastic legacy. You know, something like Mourinho's got. He wants to be a winner. And can he achieve that at Spurs with all the riches going on in the Premier League and with what he's got at his disposal? I think the answer is probably no, but I don't think he would do that until the end of the season.
Kind of with you on that as well. I know some suggestion that Manchester United have got an interest in him as well. I'm with you though, Adam. I don't see him leaving Spurs anytime soon, certainly not mid-season. Let's get to the team news then. It is our featured match on Dubai Eye 103.8. It is a London derby. West Ham United taking on Tottenham Hotspur. The starting 11s, if you can, my man.
Yeah, Pedro Aubameyang and Arthur Masuaku are absent for West Ham today, although Masuaku does get a place on the bench. He picked up an ankle knock when he was away with Congo. Cresswell and Snodgrass coming in. So it looks like we're going to see Fabianski in goal. That four across the back of Zabaleta, Balbuena, Diop and Cresswell. Rice in that holding midfield role. And then if he has gone as they have previously, it will be Yarmolenko on the right, Noble and Snodgrass in the middle, with Anderson on the left, with Arnautovic leading the line. Javier Hernandez is on the bench, as is Dean Garner as well, as one of the substitutes available to Pellegrini today. As for Spurs, Eriksen and Dembele are back, but they're on the bench. So is Son. So Lloris is in goal. It's Trippier, Alderweireld, Sanchez and Davis across the back. Dyer, Winks and Sissoko in midfield, with Lamella and Lucas Moura providing the bullets to Harry Kane this afternoon, who has got seven in his last seven against West Ham in the Premier League.
From us then, Adam, and then we will let you get going. Final prep ahead of this one. Prediction time. Have you get that West Ham spectacles off? Will they get another big scalp this afternoon, or do you fancy Spurs to come away with the points?
Well, I think I'm not the only person who probably thinks this. I reckon it'll be a draw today. I think we'll do okay. Our record at home against them is pretty good. Obviously, it was a five-goal thriller last year when Spurs got themselves three up and we hauled ourselves back into it. So I reckon we'll see a draw today with some goals. Possibly a 2-2.
Who have you got alongside you in the commentary box, Adam?
The former Arsenal boy, Adrian Clarke, is with me today, so he'll be providing the neutrality. Oh, no, actually, we'll both be hating Spurs. I know I never said that.
I love it, Adam. Always a pleasure, my man. Enjoy that match. You are on our airwaves from 6 p.m. over here in the United Arab Emirates. We're looking forward to it.
Cheers, buddy. Speak to you later.
Big thanks to Adam there for joining us live on the line. We took a short break. When we come back, we're around the grounds.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, where the game is always on.
Game on indeed. We have, just a couple of minutes remaining in this one. Probably just over 1 minute down at Stamford Bridge.
60 seconds remaining. Cesar Azpilicueta, the right back, the captain for Chelsea, getting ready to fling a long ball in. It is Chelsea 1, Manchester United 2. United have made all their substitutions. Jose Mourinho incandescent when the board went up for six added minutes. Eden Hazard now flinging out to the right-hand side. Chelsea pouring every man forward. They're looking to get a last-gasp equaliser. David Luiz has hit the post. Oh my goodness, it's a goal. They're level. Chelsea are level. It's Ross Barkley with it. It was a smash in the middle of the penalty box, and Jose Mourinho's face says it all. Oh, he's not happy. He's not happy, Jose Mourinho. He's going after a Chelsea. Someone in the Chelsea touchline has celebrated in front of Jose Mourinho. He is out of his chair. He is being held back. Sergio Romero is there. Eric Bailly is there. Jose Mourinho is far from happy. A member of the Chelsea coaching staff has celebrated in front of Jose Mourinho. They have scarpered down the touchline, and savoury scenes here. Maurizio Sarri is there. I'm not quite sure who it was. It could well be Carlo Curicini, a member of the Chelsea backroom staff as well. Either way, and Antonio Rudiger's getting involved. I'm not sure what he's doing getting involved there. There's finger pointing. Maurizio Sarri and Jose Mourinho have come together. They have cuddled it out. I think Jose Mourinho now looks settled. He has taken his seat back in the away dugout. And savoury scenes at the end of this match. Frustration, I think, from Jose Mourinho's perspective. He looks calm now, does Jose? He wasn't happy there, but it does stand. Chelsea have got a late, late equaliser here. It is Chelsea 2, Manchester United 2. We are waiting for a replay of this one. David Luiz, it was, with a header. It came back off the post. Antonio Rudiger then looked as if he was going to level things up. An incredible save from David De Gea, but there was the substitute, Ross Barkley, just to flash the ball into the bottom corner. United were 30 seconds away from a huge victory. They were 1-0 down in this one. As things stand, it looks as if they will have to settle for a point. It is all calmed down now. Jose Mourinho not happy, but he is calm. The Chelsea bench have taken their seats now as well. The goal stands. Into the 98th minute of added on time, it's Chelsea 2, Manchester United 2.
It's going to be very interesting watching the closing stages of this game. We will keep an eye on that one for you. Meantime, let's go back to Ross Chris, wrap things up.
Yeah, that's right, guys. Dubai Muscle Beach, it is here. It's back again, November 9 and 10. Bassam, the director of it, it's going to be at the Sheraton Jumeirah Beach Resort. Obviously, a competition like this, you can't do it without any of your sponsors. Who's backing you guys this year?
We have plenty of sponsors that are always supporting us, like food prep companies, we have supplementation companies. We have big support this year from Cytec Nutrition, Middle East. We have big support from Iron Max, also Nutrition from Germany. And we have our local companies that they supply athletes and all with the healthy food, like Fuel Up, Fit Kitchen, and more. So without the support of our sponsors, of course, like, we cannot achieve all what we've been doing all these years. And sponsorship still open, like, for any companies who are interested, they can just get in touch with us through our website or contacting us directly.
Yeah, you mentioned your website. If people want to get involved, they want to see everything muscle going on at Dubai Muscle Beach and the Dubai Muscle Show, what's the best way for them to get involved, or if they also wanted to buy a ticket?
They can go to our website, www.umffmiddleeast.com.
There you have it. For those of you listening at home, it's Mr. Bassam. He's putting on Dubai Muscle Beach 2018. It'll be November 9 and 10, Friday and Saturday at the Sheraton Jumeirah Beach Resort. Then in December, you'll see the Dubai Muscle Show coming back for its third year. If you want to get involved, you can get tickets now.
Thanks very much indeed for that, fellas. Much appreciated. Now, we were meant to be celebrating a fifth day of Test cricket here in the UAE a little earlier on today, but that wasn't the case, Mark Archer. It all finished yesterday.
Yeah, it did indeed. A big win for Pakistan yesterday in the second and final Test match down at the Sheikh Zayed Cricket Stadium in Abu Dhabi, where a big win for Pakistan by 373 runs. They wrapped the series up 1-0. They were in the commanding position in Dubai in the first Test match, but the Australian team held on there for a very stoic draw. Just give you a quick update. Pakistan in the two innings, 282 and 409 declared in their second innings. Australia disappointing with the bat, 145 and 164 all out. So a massive win for Pakistan, 373 runs. Player of the series and man of the series, Mohammad Abbas. So big win for Pakistan. Let's just have a listen to the very disappointed Australian captain, Tim Payne, talking about the defeat after the Test match.
Yeah, I think so. It's bitterly disappointing, no doubt. We had some momentum from the first Test. Started really well here. And then from 5 for 57, it went a bit pear-shaped, to be honest, from all over the field. So, it's hard to swallow. I'd love to go back to that lunch break, come back out and start again. But, yeah, we just weren't up to it, weren't able to sustain it for long enough. It's disappointing. As I said before we came here to win this series, and we sort of did okay in the first Test and showed at least some fight and showed the style and brand of cricket that we wanted to play in that second innings, and then to come out and do that this Test, it's kind of like taking one step forward and then two steps back. So it's really frustrating. There's no doubt this has been happening for too long for the Australian cricket team, not just our Test team, but probably domestically. There's a lot of collapses throughout our batting group, and I think, yeah, a lot of it can be technical. Some guys will be mental, and other guys will be, as you said, tactical, or your plans not being right for certain bowlers. So there's no shying away from the fact that we've got a hell of a lot of work to do with on our batting, and that's this team, and it's throughout the whole country. No, I don't think so. I think guys knew what they were going to get with Mohammad Abbas. He hasn't changed. All the footage we've seen from him, he bowls pretty much the same day in, day out. So there's no doubt he's highly skilled, and he doesn't miss the spot too much. And again, I think it's just guys that are testing our defence at the moment for long enough, whether that's spin or medium pace or quick bowlers, are getting rewards. And I think teams around the world probably recognising that and knowing that if they can just keep at us, these collapses are happening. So when you give them a bit of a sniff of that, they're always in the game and they always feel like they're not far away. So great Australian teams of the past have been completely opposite of that. It's hard to get players out and then the next guy comes in and it starts all over again. So we know as a batting group and as a team we're certainly a long way off the finished product, and yeah, we've got some work to do.
So Archie, it wasn't to be Australia's, they weren't going to have the repeat of the first test, was there? Because they had that amazing sort of comeback in the first test, just holding up an end for that final day, but it wasn't to be yesterday.
No, just no chance. Mohammad Abbas, the man of the match and the player of the series, with 10 wickets in the test match, 5 for 33 in the first innings, 5 for 62, was just too good for the Aussies. And they've got to start asking questions, Tom. When they come to the subcontinent, they've struggled for a long time now, and to be dismissed for 145 and 164 in Abu Dhabi is very disappointing. Now, so worrying times, just as the captain there, Tim Payne, alluded to, but also Justin Langer, the Australian coach, the new Australian coach, it's also a tough moment for him to figure out what's going wrong with the Australian batting lineup.
I think a really huge disappointment. I thought our preparation was brilliant. We came into it, coming to the first test really encouraged, really upbeat. We knew that we were evenly matched with Pakistan in terms of ages and games played. But to go away 1-0, and particularly to play like we played in this test match, after having Pakistan on the ropes in the first session, it was very disappointing. Yeah.
Is it a case of running the events after lunch on the first day through the head a fair few times?
Yeah, I didn't sleep very well that first night. I almost had this... We had them 5 for 50.
57.
And that night, and it's what Pakistan ended up with, 280. I know how hard test cricket is. When you've got people on the ropes, you have to capitalise, particularly a team like this. And particularly they had Mohammad Abbas, who bowled beautifully through there, and we knew Yasir Shah. If they're 5 feet, there was plenty in the wicket. It was spinning early. I thought we bowled really well in the first session. So my instincts told me it was going to be hard to bat on, and it proved to be that way. So, yeah, I didn't sleep much day one. You never like letting an opportunity go, that's for sure.
Oh, it's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Yeah, live, there is no live at the moment, getting ready for West Ham against Spurs down here at Barasti. Beautiful evening down here at Barasti at the moment. Chris McCarthy still trying to put his jaw back to pieces at the moment, because we've just seen an extraordinary end to a game of football. Chelsea against Manchester United, going down to the last few. In fact, we played about 100 minutes because of all the ding-dong at the end of the game.
Absolutely. An incredible finish both on and off the football field. If you are just joining us, it has finished at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea 2, Manchester United 2. Chelsea went ahead in that first half through Antonio Rudiger. 2 goals from Anthony Martial turned this game on its head. They were leading where Manchester United right up to the 95th and a half minute. It was a cross from the right-hand side. Chelsea committed everyone forward. David Luiz attacked the ball. It hit the post. It came out to the goal scorer, Antonio Rudiger. A magnificent save from David De Gea, but it fell to the feet of Ross Barkley, and he just slammed it home to make it 2 apiece. That was only the start of it. A Chelsea member of staff has then come running out of the tunnel, ran past the Manchester United dugout with his fist. He said something to Jose. He's incensed Jose. Jose Mourinho has flown out of his seat. There's a massive stramash. The stewards are involved. The Chelsea dugout's involved. The Chelsea players then get involved in it all. It then all calms down. It seems to calm down anyway. Full-time whistle. It is 2 apiece. What happens? Jose Mourinho, he's up to the away fans. He's clapped them off. He's been getting abuse all game, clearly. He's had abuse, an awful lot of abuse, from Chelsea fans for a long time since he joined Manchester United. He then gives the three-finger salute to say, hey, I won 3 titles at this football club. It's me. I did that. I won those 3 titles for your football club. I am the most successful manager in your history. He's given that one. The Chelsea fans are up in arms with that. It is, well, not deplorable scenes. I don't want to go that far. Jose Mourinho, it's the old Jose Mourinho. He's got a bit of spark about him at the end of that game. It has finished Chelsea 2, Manchester United 2. The recriminations, I'm sure, will be felt. There will be an awful lot of chat in the coming days over this match. What a fantastic advert for football. Not so much at the end, but Jose Mourinho is alive and kicking, gutted with his side, didn't see it out. But what a game of football. Chelsea 2, Manchester United 2.
Excellent stuff. Mark Archer's with us as well. He's been talking cricket as well. How will Australia battle back from that defeat to Pakistan? Pakistan always, obviously, favourites in these conditions here, but that was not great batting from the Australians yesterday.
No, they've really struggled to stay with Pakistan over the two test matches. They held on with a miraculous draw in the first test match in Dubai, but utterly outclassed by Pakistan in the second test match down in Abu Dhabi in the capital. Mohammad Abbas was the star there. 10 wickets he took for Pakistan. So a big win yesterday for Pakistan, 373 runs. Pakistan actually now take on the New Zealand Black Caps in a test series. Australia head home to get prepared for their summer at home. The other cricket result to bring you today was over
in...
Is it
not a triangler? I thought it was a triangler, isn't it? Isn't it a one-day triangler?
I don't think so. Not to my knowledge.
I'll double-check that one. I think because I thought the Aussie one-day team were here playing with New Zealand and Pakistan. I'm not sure. I might be wrong.
You may be right. There's so much cricket going on in the UAE at the moment, isn't to keep in touch. But we know the New Zealand Black Caps are here. There is a test match series, and there will be some ODIs attached to that. Other result today in the live ODI action was over in Sri Lanka in Kandy, the fourth one-day international. I can tell you that England won this match by 18 runs in a rain-affected match by Duckworth Lewis. They were chasing 274 for victory. They were 132 for 2 when the rain came. The match was abandoned. England won the match by Duckworth Lewis. It means that they now lead the five-match series 3-0, and there's one match to play on Tuesday. So England victorious there in the rain, in the monsoon over in Sri Lanka. So a good win for England and a fine win yesterday for Pakistan.
Indeed. Let's get over to the United States now and get some basketball news for you.
Yeah, basketball is back. Season's here. Charlotte Hornets taking on the Orlando Magic. Charlotte won this one 120-88. Kemba Walker had 26 points in this game. He is one of the most prized guy in a small market playing the point guard position for Michael Jordan's Charlotte Hornets. The Brooklyn Nets defeated crosstown rival the New York Knicks 107-105. Ernest Kanter had 29 points and 10 rebounds. The Turk has been playing quite well for Brooklyn. Toronto Raptors behind Kawhi Leonard, 31 points, 10 rebounds, beat the Boston Celtics 113-101. Al Horford almost had a triple-double in this one. He had 14 points, 10 boards, and 9 assists. The Memphis Grizzlies took on the Atlanta Hawks, defeated the Atlanta Hawks 131-117. Excuse me there. Taurean Prince had 28 points for Atlanta. Garrett Temple had 30 points for the Memphis Grizzlies. The Cleveland Cavaliers don't have LeBron James anymore because he's out in Los Angeles. They lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves 131-123. Jimmy Butler was at his home crowd, and he got booed at the beginning of the game. However, he chipped in 33 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists. It's going to be hard to boo a guy like that if he keeps giving you numbers like that. New Orleans Pelicans moved to 2-0 on the season. They win 149-129. No, they did not play two games and combine the scores. It was a scoring fest down there in the NOLA. The Pelicans moved to 2-0 on the season. Nikola Mrotic had 36 points and 9 boards and 2 assists. The Minnesota Bucks defeated the Indiana Pacers behind the Greek freak Giannis Antetokounmpo's 26 points, 15 rebounds, and 5 assists. The Warriors took on the Jazz, and I won't even tell you how this one ended. You can listen in.
To Durant, off the dribble, foul on jumper, won't go, Jericho tips it in, Jonas Jericho tips it in, it's 0-0 on the clock, but I think they're going to put some time back on. The former Jazz man with the biggest bucket of the night. What a way to endear yourself to your new teammates. Let's see how much time they put back on the clock.
Bottom right of your screen, he beats Rudy Gobert to the basketball.
Now, but let's look as the ball goes through the net. So there could be 3 or 4 tenths of a second on, and that's key because 3 tenths of a second or more, you can catch and shoot.
We'll have more NBA action for you in just a few moments' time. Chris McCarty is getting through his social media feeds at the moment. Jose Mourinho is talking to the press after the game. What's being said?
Yeah, I'm just getting up to speed with what happened. I can tell you the man who incited, no, I was going to say violence, there was no violence at the end, but incited Jose Mourinho at the end of that game is Marco Ianni. He is a coach, an Italian coach. It was he who celebrated with a fist pump right in the face of Jose Mourinho when Chelsea scored in the 96th minute of added on time. behind sparking that melee. Jose Mourinho is currently speaking to a host broadcaster over in the UK, Sky Sports. He's smiling. He seems to be semi-happy. I'm sure Jeff Shreves is pushing and prodding and asking all of the right questions. But Jose Mourinho, if you are just joining us, incensed with the Chelsea celebrations at the end of that match. It finished Chelsea 2, Manchester United 2. He then, after the full-time whistle, has given the three-finger salute, a reminder that he won three Premier League titles during his two spells as Chelsea manager to the Chelsea fans. They were throwing, or at least expletives were directed in the direction of Jose Mourinho. So he's entitled, well within his right, to remind the fans that, listen, hey, I am your most successful manager of this football club, and he's done that this afternoon. So, as I say, the fallout will be heard for not just a few hours, for a few days, but again, the football that was done on the pitch, it finished Chelsea 2, Manchester United 2.
Looking forward to our 6 o'clock kickoff. Stay tuned for Spurs against West Ham. That one's live for you right here on Dubai Eye 103.8 from 6 o'clock this evening. Time now for us to talk to a man who's been there, done that, on tracks around the world. Double Irish champion and 100 metres and 200 metres, the European 200 metre finalist, British 200 metre medalist at the Commonwealth Games, 200 metre bronze medal at the Commonwealth Games, I should say, earlier on this year. Measured as the 18th fastest man in the world at the moment, 6th fastest European in the world, former Team GB athlete, joins us live on the line. It's a welcome to Leon Reid, who joins us here on the grill. Good afternoon to you, Leon.
Hello, how's things?
Very well indeed. Really appreciate you taking time out of your day, your schedule, to have a quick chat with us. The good news is you're here in Dubai. You're with athletes in schools. You're training and coaching kids as part of the after-school program. How's that been going?
Yeah, it's great. We've met loads of kids out here, all obviously from different backgrounds, different countries, everything like that. So like everybody's so excited to get in and on the track. So me and Tommy have been out here, and it's been absolutely amazing.
Mate, what can you bring? What are you able to instill in the kids here? I understand that you've got holiday camp that's coming up next week. You're here as one of the athlete ambassadors. All those that are training the kids have Team GB experience as well. Are you teaching them the basic skills? Is it more of a mental approach?
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. But I think the most important thing is just that we have fun. Obviously, when we're professional athletes and we do everything by the book, we're very disciplined. But it's also good to show that we can have fun on the track and off the track as well. So the kids come down, we play games, but they don't actually realise that they're actually learning fundamental techniques in running while we play these games. So it helps them with all different kinds of sports. They've all got different backgrounds in sports, so they don't actually understand, but they're actually getting faster, they're getting stronger while having fun. So that's the message that we're just trying to put across.
And is it a multi-sports approach, a multi-discipline approach when they come down for the programmes themselves?
Yeah, definitely. Well, obviously, everybody's different levels and stuff like that. So if we can just make sure everybody's improving, then that's what we're here to do. So,
Leon, if people want to find out more about the programme, if people want to get in touch, what's the best way for them to do that?
Just Google athletes and schools, UAE, or we're on social media, Instagram, Twitter, everything. We're going to be at Nad Al Sheba next week for the camp. It's going to be amazing. So, yeah, that's the best way. Google, I'd say. Instagram, Twitter, we've got it all. Athletes and schools.
And what's next on the agenda for Leon Reid as well? Obviously still in training. Have you set yourself goals for 2019?
Yeah, well, you said when you introduced our top 20 in the world, but next year it's got to be top 10 world championships. So that's definitely going to be the goal, top 10 in the world.
And in terms of the training program for you, Leon, is that a multi-country approach? Do you find that you train better in different countries, or do you like to focus on just one in order to nail the training?
Yeah, well, we like to travel away, obviously, for the weather. So the weather out here is amazing, but it's also good to get away from home as well. So you could literally just switch off, go to a different country and just push yourself to the absolute limit and not have to worry about, paying bills and all of that normal life stuff. So it's good to just get away and focus, not have any outlined dramas going on. It's just pure training, pure focus.
You mentioned you're out here with a number of the athlete ambassadors for athletes in schools. Who else have you had the opportunity to hang out with here over the last couple of weeks, and who's your partner in crime for the forthcoming halftime program?
Oh, it's definitely Tommy Ramdan. He's a 200 meter runner. He won the European Juniors gold in 2015, so So we've been out here for months together. So it was like, yeah, we're a good group of lads. And Yasmin Miller's out here as well. She's a 100 meter hurdler for Great Britain. So we were just chilling by the pool then, just catching up because she's just landed, getting ready for the camp at Nadal Sheba this week.
Looking forward to it. Leon, I'll let you get on. It's a Saturday. There's sport aplenty to get in. Have you got a football team?
Arsenal, of course. We're not on until Monday, though, so...
During the middle of the programme as well. Yeah, you got the weekend off. Enjoyed that one. Yeah. Enjoyed the start of the season for Arsenal, have you?
Yeah, I have, actually. I was a bit nervous with the manager coming in, but he seems to have very, very good goals, and he's not happy with just winning games. He's always looking for improvements. Same as what we are as athletes, always looking for improvement. When you do that with your team, it's very exciting.
Leon, enjoy the rest of the Arsenal season. Enjoy the rest of your time here in the UAE as well. Thanks very much indeed for taking time to speak to us, and all the best with athletes in schools over the weekend.
Oh no, thank you. It's been great talking to you.
Big thanks to Leon Reid joining us live on the line there. If you'd like to find out more, you can by just Googling athletes in schools. They've got their autumn holiday camp going on throughout the entire week, so make sure you get in touch with that. Chris McCarty's got some more background on the Mr. Jose Mourinho gate.
Yes, Jose Mourinho, if you are just joining us, a spat at the end of that game. He was incited, he was incensed by a member of the Chelsea coaching staff who celebrated right in front of the United dugout at the end of that game. It finished Chelsea 2, Manchester United 2. He was asked what happened at the end. He said as follows: "Oh, come on, I can tell you that 97 minutes of the game was so good that you'll have to focus on that." He also gave the three-finger salute as well to the Chelsea fans, reminding them that he won three league titles, the most successful manager in that football club's history. He went on to say, "I did not get respect back from Chelsea fans, but that is not my responsibility. What I did here today, I will do in Madrid, in Milan, in Porto. The reaction from the fans is not up to me. I am not annoyed with anything. What happened with Sarri's assistant? Sarri was the first one to come to me and say he will resolve it. The assistant has already come to me and apologised. I told him to forget it. I have made a lot of mistakes in my career." So Jose Mourinho looking to distance himself from what went on at the end of that game. The brass tacks of it all, though, it did finish Chelsea 2, Manchester United 2. Not a result United will really be happy with. A point does nothing for them as they look to close the gap at the top of the table. Chelsea then top on 21 points. Manchester City and Liverpool with games to come this afternoon on 20. Manchester United down in 8th on 14 points. Wins for City and for Liverpool today, and they will be 9 points off the top of the table. We've only played 9 games, Tom.
I interrupted the boys mid-flow just to talk to Leon Reid there on the line. We were talking basketball.
Yeah, though, we just heard there the Warriors tipped one in. They go 2-0 in the season. They won 124-123 over the Utah Jazz. Kevin Durant, he just keeps producing. 38 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists for the Golden State Warriors. Joe Ingles, the Aussie, had 27 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists for the Jazz in what was a losing effort. But I liked what I saw out of that Jazz team. They're looking like they might be able to compete with some of the upper echelon NBA teams. And the final game of the night was the LA Clippers taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Steven Adams chipped in 17 points in a losing effort for the Oklahoma City Thunder, playing without Russell Westbrook. Tobias Harris had 26 points and 10 rebounds for the Clippers, who moved to 1-1 on the season.
Russell, I'm excited for the new NBA season. Plenty of storylines going into the season. Can the Golden State Warriors win back-to-back-to-back titles? Who's going to come through in the East that's been dominated by LeBron in recent years? Who's going to fill that void? And then the big question itself, how is LeBron James going to fare wearing the yellow of the Los Angeles Lakers?
Yeah, I'm wearing my Lakers hat today, the purple and yellow. Gosh, the first game was a little rough, 128-119 going against the Portland Trail Blazers. It's going to be a wait-and-see thing. I still think LeBron James has proven to all of us that he can put a whole entire team on his back and he can get them into the playoffs. So that's what I do expect for him out in Los Angeles. I think that they can sneak in there at the 8 or the 7 seed just because they have the greatest player and the history of the sport on their team. They also have a couple key players. Lance Stephenson, he's a bit of an agitator, a good defensive player. Rajon Rondo, he wound back the clock last year in the playoffs, averaging 13 points and averaging a double-double. They got the ball, Lonzo Ball, also at the point guard position. So they have some talent there, but it's going to be interesting to see how they facilitate around LeBron James, how Luke Walton handles that. But You mentioned in the East, Mark Archer, Cleveland Cavaliers. What are they going to be doing this season without LeBron James? I expect them to struggle a little bit.
Tough for Cleveland, though. Great win for Toronto over Boston last night. Boston, the team who expected to pick up the mantelpiece there in the East, but Philly are going to be pretty strong, competitive. They're young, they're talented, they're athletic. And then you've also got Toronto with Kawhi Leonard. Obviously, might be there for a short term, for only one season maybe, but it's going to be a competitive East for two or three teams there, but the West, again, stacked, isn't it, all the way down?
Yeah, it's kind of like rent-a-player Kawhi Leonard. You know you're just getting him for a year. He's made his intentions clear through his camp. He wants to be out in California, preferably somewhere in Los Angeles. I don't actually see him going to the Lakers. I don't see Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James driving together on the same team. I see him more on the Clippers side of the things. But, yeah, the East, Boston, it's going to be your usual suspects of Boston, Toronto, and Philadelphia. I think we're going to see that Cleveland Cavaliers falling off, as we've seen from the first two games this season, last night losing to Minnesota. You might see Miami do some stuff down there with Dwayne Wade and company. They seem to be to know how to put together a few games. But all the power in the NBA, as it has been for the last decade or so, it all lies in the West. I mean, this is where all these teams are the big hitters, if you will. The Golden State Warriors, the Clippers, these teams, the Houston Rockets, with, you know, James Harden out there, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the list goes on. The West is just such a stronger conference. It's nice to see the best player in the strongest conference as well. It'll be great to see him go against more of these Western Conference teams than these Eastern Conference teams. So this NBA season's going to be very, very exciting. If you guys want to get up early, there's going to be a plethora of games tomorrow. There's about 12 tomorrow morning, so it'll be a good game. Good time for you to get in.
Cheers, fellas. Thanks so much indeed. Fast approaching the end of the show. Get ready. You've got Spurs against West Ham, or I should say West Ham against Spurs, coming your way just after 6 o'clock. And don't forget that tonight sees the second of the semi-finals in the Afghanistan Premier League right here in the UAE. Kabul Zwanan, we're taking on the Paktia Panthers in the second semi-final. We do know who they'll be taking on in the final because it was the big Balkh Legion hitters who have booked their place in the final after their win yesterday against the Leopards. One of those legends joins us live on the line now, I'm happy to say, to close off the show. A man who's worn colours for Essex and England in all three formats of the game. He's also played for a number of franchises in his T20 career: Karachi Kings, Pakistan Super League, Kings 11 Punjab, the Indian Premier League, the Sydney Sixers in the Big Bash, and the Chittagong Vikings in the Bangladesh Premier League, and of course the Afghanistan Premier League right here in the UAE recently. It's a warm welcome to Ravi Papara to the show. Ravi, how you enjoying the UAE?
Yeah, it's been brilliant so far. I'm sorry if it's echoing a bit, but where I am it's a bit loud. You know, Dubai, typical Dubai.
In terms of the cricket for the Afghanistan Premier League, have you been pleasantly surprised? Have you enjoyed the standard that you've been beating out of the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think it's been brilliant. I think the standard's been awesome, and it just shows that Afghanistan as a nation, a cricketing nation, are really coming through now. And I've seen some special talent over these last couple of weeks, and it's really good to see.
Ravi, in terms of, I mean, obviously part and parcel of the format for the Afghan Premier League was to have established marquee players like yourself, teammate Chris Gayle, amongst others. Brendan McCullum's been in town as well. But also to bring through grassroots talent and try and feed them into franchise cricket as well. Have you enjoyed the talent that you've seen out there as well?
Yeah, most definitely. And I think the overseas players have got a massive part to play as well, especially moving forward. If you can help out some of the young guys, the local boys, the ones who are making their way, just little bits of advice and even filling them with confidence goes a long way. But, you know, it's not all about that as well. It's all about the overseas as well. They also want to perform. Everyone's got a name and a reputation that they want to live up to. And we know how big T20 cricket is around the world. So, you know, this contract's up for grabs.
And Ravi, in terms of the squad itself, have you enjoyed it? Has there been a good camaraderie amongst your teammates?
Oh, it's been brilliant. We've been awesome throughout the competition. Everyone's really got on. Our coach, Helmo, has been unbelievable as well. It's been a wild experience. It's been brilliant. And to reach the final the way we have, and dominating so far, it'd be great to go on and win it.
You've got that opportunity tomorrow evening, 8 o'clock final down in Sharjah. You've booked your place in the final. Does it matter who you face in the final? Will you be keeping an eye on the other semi-final?
Well, I think we'll be keeping an eye on it just to see who we're playing so we can mentally prepare. But really honestly, we don't really care who we play. We back ourselves and our skills and do what we're good at, and hopefully we'll come out on top tomorrow night and celebrate a trophy in the cabinet.
Ravi, lovely. Thanks so much indeed for joining us live on the line. I'll let you get back with the mental preparation for tomorrow. We'll watch on with interest as well to all your teammates. Big thanks for taking time. Say hi to all of them, and we'll speak to you very soon.
Thank you very much.
Cheers to Ravi Parra there, joining us live on the line. He's made it through to the final tomorrow as part of the Butt Legends. They'll be taking on, we don't know who yet, but that final, semi-final, gets underway at 8 o'clock this evening. In the meantime, just remains for me to say a couple of thank yous. And what are they up to sports-wise this weekend? Ross Christ.
I'll be heading to your neck of the woods, Tom. I'll be heading to Wembley Stadium to see the defending Super Bowl champions, Philadelphia Eagles, take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Both teams sitting at 3-3. It'll be my first NFL England experience. Can't wait.
Christo, thanks for that one. So Wembley is staging a few games at the moment, which is good to see. What about you, Mark Archer?
I was in London last weekend. It was packed full of American football fans. The Raiders were in town versus the Seahawks. So they were swamping around the tourism, the high-flying bits of London last Saturday. But, give you a couple of quick rugby results, Tom. The first two results from today's Champions Cup matches are done and dusted. Cast has defeated Exeter 29 points to 25. And Munster have beaten New York Gloucester 36 points to 22, with Danny Cipriani receiving a red card for a high tackle after 30 minutes. So I'm just gearing up for the autumn rugby internationals. We're only a week or two away now. Very exciting. All the big Southern Hemisphere teams, the All Blacks, Australia, South Africa, heading to the Northern Hemisphere, and some massive matches on the rugby horizon. So just getting myself prepared for those, Tom.
Looking forward to that then. And you, of course, Mr. Chris McCarty.
As sad as always, Tom, watching sport, and more sport. There is Lewis Hamilton on the cusp of a fifth world title in the world of F1, Austin, Texas, this weekend. I'm keeping an eye over in France. Thierry Henry's managerial debut for Monaco. Niko Kovac for Bayern Munich. Defeat for him today, and he could well be looking for a new job. Some suggestion that Arsene Wenger has already agreed to take over at Bayern Munich. So I'll be keeping an eye on all the football across the weekend. Looking forward to this one. West Ham against Spurs. Nice to see some friendly faces down at Barasti as well.
Good on you, Chris. Good on you, Arch. Good on you, Ross Christo. Thanks so much indeed to Benjo, to Hector, to all the team. Who's back in the studio? Who? Elaine? Really? Oh, no wonder. Okay, thanks so much indeed to you all. We'll be back here next week between 3 and 6. Until then, enjoy. Stay tuned. You've got Adam Bridge bringing us all the latest from the London Stadium. It's West Ham against Tottenham. Enjoy.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.